So God is good, and all of the time,
God is good.
So I need you, Spirit of Joy, and before I even ask you or make a request, I'd like to share with you this morning that the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with you all. And the children of God say,
and also you.
And we try another way, we say, amen. You're getting there, you'll get there. So take a brief journey with me this morning. It is a hot summer day, and the temperature is 95 degrees. And you are parched, you are thirsty, your throat is dry. What would you drink? Water? What would you drink? Okay, I wasn't expecting that beer. Okay. Coffee, maybe wine. But the goal that you're trying to get at is to quench your thirst. It's to be refreshed. And hopefully you're drinking cold beer, Pastor Eric, or cold water. Okay? But the goal is to quench your thirst, it's to refresh you. And that's what we're getting at. And there are other ways so that we can be refreshed besides water and beer and wine and you name it. There are other ways to be refreshed too. Okay? So if you have a pastor, no offense, Pastor Eric, who is working and working and working, and his wife said, sweetheart, you need to take a break. But he cares for his congregation so much, he's always on the go. But then he decides to take a break. Because there's no other way when you need a break, you need a break, right? Okay? So he takes a break, and why does he do that? Because he needs to be re-energized, or she needs to be refreshed, or she needs her energy restored. And so we take a break, or we drink water to refresh ourselves because our body needs it. Being refreshed is a form of self-care. Being refreshed is a form of worship. You see, our relationship with God calls for daily renewal. It calls for us to be continually refreshed in the Lord and with each other. Peter's sermon in a scripture that was beautifully read tells us something about being refreshed in God. Peter reminds us in his sermon of how broken we are. Peter said, he said something to the crowd, but the crowd started this fight. Jesus had told Peter and James and all of the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. Because he said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power. And Peter and the rest of the disciples were obedient, they waited. And guess who showed up on the day of Pentecost? The Holy Spirit. Oh, you didn't hear that. Who showed up on the day of Pentecost?
The Holy Spirit
showed up. The Holy Spirit descended on the disciples as Jesus promised. The power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the disciples spoke in other tongues. And the Bible says, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven were in Jerusalem and heard the disciples speak it in different languages. Some of these God-fearing Jews decided to make fun of the disciples. You know, when you're doing so well, there is always someone who will put a hole in your story. But don't mind them. Don't mind them. Or if you want to go Peter, you can tell them that is not true. They assume that the disciples they didn't just have wine, they said they had too much wine. Who can have too much wine? Okay, so they had too much wine, but that wasn't true. You see, it is not a good idea, it's not a great idea to begin a relationship or carry on a relationship based on assumptions. instead of asking Peter, James, and John, you know, and the rest of the disciples what was going on, they came up with their assumptions. Because assumptions are not always good because it destroys relationships. My husband always tells me, try to recreate that story in your head. Because he'll say stuff, and then I'm looking for all kind of fault in his story. And he said, what story are you creating in your head? You need to recreate the story of each other in our head. The disciples, the people, or the God-fearing Jews created their own story. But Peter was not having it. Peter made sure to set the record straight. Peter said, we're not drunk. We have just been refreshed by the Holy Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit refreshes you, you're just not the same anymore. And I want you to join me, Pastor Eric, will you push it? I want you to join me in reading Peter's response, word from word, according to the NIV. Let's read together. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I have to say. This, you know, a lot of times when we don't listen carefully, that's when we come up with all these stories. He said, listen to me carefully. These people are not drunk. As is supposed, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We don't drink wine 9 o'clock in the morning. This Pentecostal experience that you have just witnessed is a fulfillment of the prophecy spoken by Joel. In America, we say Joel. In verse 36 of the text, Peter reminded them about the refreshing power of God. Peter said, and this is my favorite part, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, whom we crucified. He said, God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. Let's say it together, Lord and Messiah.
Lord and Messiah.
So God has made him both Lord and Messiah. Now, Peter, as he responded to these people, he first made known their sins. He told them, you crucified Christ. And we crucify Christ every day when we don't do the right thing. To be refreshed, we need to acknowledge our problems. Sometimes, you know, we'll be called out on this and we might not like it. But it's also important that we acknowledge our problems. And that's why in worship service, we confess our sins every Sunday or every day, depending on what part of the world you are. It is so easy and tempting to talk about grace and never talk about the cross. It is easy to talk about God's love and never talk about, you know, his redemption. But I want you to hear me out this morning, that there can be no grace if there is no cross. Praise the Lord. There can be no grace. I told you I needed your help. There can be no grace if there is no cross. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There can be no redemption if there is no sin. Peter told the crowd, you have crucified this Christ. And the Bible said, it cut to the soul. When they listened to the message, it cut to their souls. They felt it. They felt sad. They felt sorry. And they asked Peter. They said, brothers, and the disciples, brothers, what should we do? Apparently, there were no women at that time. He said, brothers, what should we do? And Peter had an answer. The question of what should we do is a call, it's a desire, it's an expression of a desire that I need to be refreshed. What should we do? And Peter said, people of God, first, you must repent. And you see, the Greek word for repent is metanoia. Can you say with me, metanoia? Come on, let's speak a little bit of Greek here. Metanoia. And don't worry about it being right, it's Greek. Okay? Peter said, repent. And repent, or the word metanoia, means to have second thoughts. To reconsider, to reorient. Here, Peter is urging God's children, you and I included, to reconsider a complete change of lifestyle, one that represents Christ, a change of lifestyle that only Christ can give us. Peter continues, he said, be baptized. Don't just repent. He said, be baptized in the name of Jesus. In baptism, God is present in us and through us. In baptism, God is with us. God mends our gaps. God refreshes us. And God in baptism can turn around a world of evil into a place of equality, restorative justice, and love. Praise the Lord. Amen. In baptism, we receive forgiveness. And forgiveness, the Greek word for forgiveness is aphesis. Say it with me, aphesis. And that word means to be pardoned, to be free, to be liberated, to be set free, to go on and share God's word with your neighbors. We are set free in baptism to live out the gospel. And as good Lutherans, we say we are set free in baptism to live out our baptismal call. That was seven, right? Five? Okay, I thought I had mine there. There are 5 years of baptism. He calls us to live our baptismal call because we have been forgiven. The truth is, in baptism, we become the embodiment of Christ. Turn to somebody and say, I am the embodiment. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you become the embodiment of Christ, that Christ lives in you. And if Christ lives in you, if Christ lives in us, those who are close to Jesus Christ, the lame, the blind, the hungry, and all those that live in on the fringes of town are also close with us. We cannot be followers of Jesus and don't see the people around us. Can you turn around and see if you can see your neighbor? We cannot live, you know, call ourselves children of God and not see the people around us. Now, we can see each other here, but are you seeing your neighbors outside of this wall? These people are brought to us for us to do something about their plight. Our failure to act calls us to repent. Our failure to respond calls us to be refreshed. So, for us this morning, my sisters and brothers, the question of what shall we do, or if I should ask you what shall we do, I think I have an answer for that, looking at the example of Peter. I say, become the embodiment with those who are crying out. But one way for us to get genuinely refreshed is by turning to God. It's by repenting. It's by living out our baptismal faith. What will you do? Amen.